Let's pray together the prayer of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Holy Spirit, beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, console me. Tell me what I should do. Give me your orders. I promise to submit myself to all that you desire of me and to accept all that you permit to happen to me. Let me only know your will. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our next session is a talk on growth, and we welcome Ralph Martin back to give us that session.
Hi, Ralph Martin here again. The last time we met on these sessions, I was talking to you about conversion and repentance and sin. And if you've been persevering through the sessions, I know last week was a wonderful week. There was an opportunity to really open your lives in a very specific way and pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and pray for the graces of the sacraments of baptism and confirmation to be stirred up in you and just let the Lord do whatever he wanted and give to you whatever he wanted. I know some of you may have experienced something right away and have noticed maybe some things in this last time between the sessions, and maybe a little greater hunger for prayer, or maybe the scriptures coming a little bit alive, or maybe there's a little more joy or freedom in your life, and maybe others haven't experienced that much or aren't sure whether you have or not. But I can promise you one thing. The Lord is extremely pleased if you prayed last week. The Lord is extremely pleased if you open your heart to him and ask for more of his Holy Spirit, because like he promises in Scripture, your earthly father is as bad as you are. When your child asks for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. If they ask for bread, you don't give him a stone. How much more is your Heavenly Father eager to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, believe me, something's begun to unfold in your life if you've sincerely prayed. And if you just keep now showing up, if you just keep focused on the Lord, you're going to gradually over time see change happen in your life. I know in my own life, I told you several weeks ago in session number two about the grace of God for conversion in my own life and repentance in my own life, and how that really is the most significant decision I've ever made in my life, to humble myself and swallow my pride and turn my life over to the Lord. And that's been so significant in being able to have a Christian marriage and raise children and go through difficult times knowing that the Lord is with me. The second most important decision, though, I made in my life, I'd like to tell you about now. I knew a couple of weeks after that retreat that there's going to be a fluctuation in my emotions, and I might not always experience the love of the Lord or sense his presence. But I also knew that what had happened to me was real, that he was real, and I really needed to do something to build into my life space for him, attention to him. And I knew that what that meant for me was taking some time each day for personal prayer. And if we're going to continue to grow in what we cried out to the Lord for and what we've been hoping for and praying for during these sessions, we're going to have to really establish in our life a regular daily prayer time. Now, we've all heard that our whole life is supposed to be a prayer, and that's true. But what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, while we're called to pray always, in order to do that, it's helpful to pray sometimes. So even though the goal is to pray always and always be aware of the Lord and live our whole life as a prayer to the Lord, in order for that to really be real, we really need to take some time each day for personal prayer. And I think the second most important decision I ever made in my life was to take some time each day for personal prayer. What my wife and myself do right now is we go to daily Mass as often as possible at a local parish in Ann Arbor where I live, Ann Arbor, Michigan, St. Thomas the Apostle Parish. And we go to 7 o'clock Mass, and after Mass we stay for a time of personal prayer. And if we're not able to get to Mass someday, we'll do it at home. Or we'll do it whenever we can. But first thing in the morning is usually the best time to do this. And if I'm sort of feeling kind of awake after Mass, and sometimes I might feel a little sleepy or whatever, if I'm feeling kind of awake and alert, I'll just be there with the Lord and just be aware of his presence and just receive his love and love him and just be there without necessarily saying a lot, you know. And if I start to drift off, I'll pull out this little prayer resource that I want to tell you about. I didn't have this 40 years ago. And this is one of the great blessings that Catholics can have today. It's called Magnificat. And you can actually get it by going to their website, magnificat.com. And what this is, it includes for each day of the month. It comes every month. You subscribe to it, and it comes every month. And what it is, it has some morning prayer there. It has a little scripture passage. It has a little place for intercessions. And what I have is I have a little piece of paper in here with people I'm praying for and situations I'm praying for, and I'll get that out and pray for those people. Not every day, but sometimes, often. And then there's the readings of the Mass. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I suspect some of you have. Well, you're at Mass, but you get a little distracted when the readings are going on. You miss the reading or all of the readings. Well, if that ever happens to you, you can kind of open this up and get the readings for each day. And even if you've heard the readings, and even if there's been a good sermon, there's always more to receive from the daily readings of Scripture in the Mass. And so that's really a good part of this little Magnificat, too. And then they have each day a little meditation, and then they have each day a little life of a saint. And that's one of my favorite things. Just reading about all the people who have remained faithful to Christ for so many years, for 2,000 years, particularly the martyrs. I had no idea so many people had given their life heroically for Christ in Japan and Korea and China, mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and sons and daughters, really loving Christ so much they were willing to die for him rather than deny him, and just so many saints and martyrs throughout the centuries. Just very inspiring. So this is a tremendous aid to having a prayer time. It alternates prayer, spiritual reading, meditation on the Scripture. And so when my wife and myself are praying, we'll pick up our Magnificat at a particular time, and then we'll put it down again, and then just kind of be with the Lord and just alternate a little bit this kind of prayer and spiritual reading and just being with the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you something shocking from St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales wrote the first book for Catholic lay people back in the 17th century called Introduction to the Devout Life. And what he said was that busy Catholic lay people who are involved with families and jobs and military service or whatever shouldn't pray more than an hour a day. Whoa. That's a little bit of a shock, I know, in first hearing it. And the reason why he said that is that precisely because of the busyness of our lives, we really need to have a substantial time set apart where we really can be helped by the Lord, be encouraged by the Lord, be strengthened by the Lord, and be instructed by the Lord in Scripture and spiritual reading. And he says, don't pray longer than an hour because without the advice of your spiritual director, because you need to be faithful to all the responsibilities in your life. What I would say, obviously, if you're not used to praying an hour a day, you know, pray for 15 or 20 minutes a day. You use the Magnificat as a little structure to help you with that prayer. And just spend some time being quiet with the Lord, talking to Him, listening to Him, doing the readings of the day, going to daily Mass as much as possible. And you'll find that those little prayer times are really making a difference in your life and in your sensitivity to the Lord all during the day and giving you strength and encouragement for all the things that you're going to face and all the difficulties you're going to face. So one of the things that's really important for us growing in the Lord is prayer and spiritual reading, prayer and some meditation on God's Word or spiritual reading. I'd like to, and what we're really talking about when we're talking about growth in the Lord, we're talking about growing in holiness. Now, this can be a scary word. And one of the things that John Paul II said was one of the most important rediscoveries of the Second Vatican Council was rediscovering the universal call to holiness. That holiness is not just for a few special people, but it's for every single Christian. It's for every single baptized person. That we've been created for holiness. What does holiness mean? You know, when we hear the word, different pictures come into our mind. Like we might, I think sometimes of like holy cards or halos or people lighting candles in church or praying the rosary. And all those things have some relationship to holiness, but they're not the essence. What's the essence of holiness? Jesus told us what it's all about is loving God with our whole heart, mind, and soul and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. So growing in holiness means to grow in love. So when we're opening our mind and heart to the Lord in prayer, we're opening to our heart being healed and made more and more a loving heart, a heart that loves God and a heart that loves our neighbor. Thérèse of Lisieux gives a tremendous definition of holiness, and I'm taking this from a book I wrote called The Fulfillment of All Desire, a guidebook for the journey to God based on the wisdom of the saints. And what I've tried to do in this book is collect together the best wisdom the church has from the saints who write on the spiritual journey and put it together in an understandable, easy to read way that can really help us make progress on the spiritual journey. So Thérèse says this. She says, holiness consists in doing His will, in being what He wills us to be, who resist His grace in nothing. Now that's a good definition. Sometimes we think that holiness is a burden that's being placed on us. It's really a gift that the Lord wants to give us. It's a blessing that the Lord wants to give us. He wants to help us to become the person we were created to be. It means saying yes to who we really are. It means saying yes to the purpose for which we were created. Another definition of holiness comes from Teresa of Avila, where she says, what it means to grow in holiness is to bring our will into union with God's will, to love what God loves, to desire what God desires, to hate what God hates. What does God hate? He hates what makes us unhappy. He hates sin. He hates what makes us miserable. He hates what damages His creatures. He hates sin. We talked about that in week two when I gave the talk on conversion. But in order to keep growing in the Lord, we need to keep hating sin. In fact, St. Catherine of Siena said that the spiritual life is actually a spiritual combat. And we carry on the war with a two-edged sword. One edge of the sword is hatred for sin. The other edge of the sword is love for virtue. Now, hopefully we've turned away from serious sin in our life and that we've really desired to obey God's word about what excludes us from the kingdom of God. But there's also sometimes things that are less serious that we don't think are so important, and they're certainly not as important as serious sin, but they can slow us down on the spiritual journey. They've traditionally been called in Catholic theology venial sins as opposed to mortal sins. And the saints make an important distinction between what they call inadvertent venial sin and advertent venial sin. And what they mean by inadvertent venial sin is what the proverb says when it says the just person falls seven times a day. You're basically living a righteous life. You're basically living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. But there's these little things that keep kind of popping up, like that little word of criticism or that little word of gossip or that little white lie or that little momentary indulgence in a bad thought, where we're not premeditating and deciding to do these things, but they're just still residue of our fallen human nature that won't be completely taken care of until we meet the Lord face to face. And what the saints say is that these inadvertent venial sins aren't significant difficulties in the journey to God. But what is a significant difficulty is freely choosing to offend the Lord, even though it's in a small matter, what they call advertent venial sin. Teresa of Avila describes it like this. She says, it's when I say to myself, I know the Lord doesn't want me to do this, but it's only a small thing, and I really like doing it, so I'm going to do it. She says, even though it's a really small thing, it's no small thing to freely choose to put an impediment in a relationship of love with the Lord. And it's a little bit like human relationships, like with our spouse or a friend or a family member. We know if we do certain things, they're not going to disown us. They're not going to divorce us. We're not going to go to jail. We're not going to go to hell. They're relatively small things. But if our spouse or our friend tells us, you know, that hurts us when we do that and we keep doing it, the relationship isn't going to be broken, but there's going to be a coolness or a distance or an imperfection in it. We don't want a distance or a coolness or an imperfection in our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to put anything that's an impediment to His transforming love. So one of the things the saints say, it's really important to make a clear decision to freely choose, to never freely choose to offend the Lord, even in a small matter. Now, here's true confessions again. I told you about the confusions of the 60s. Well, there were confusions later on. I was so glad of being free from serious sin that I was taking casual some of these lesser, you know, venial sins. And when I read about what St. Teresa of Avila and St. Francis de Sales said, I say, well, you know what? I've got to make a decision here. And I had the grace and I had the wisdom from the saints to make a decision that I never want to freely choose to offend the Lord, even in a small matter. And that's been a tremendously helpful decision. And if you haven't made that decision, I'd encourage you to do so. It will really help you in your growth with the Lord. Another thing the saints talk about, and I had never heard this in all my years in Catholic education, St. Francis describes something he calls affection for sin. And sometimes we're no longer committing a particular sin, but we're still nurturing an affection for it in our heart. And he gives some ways of understanding what he means. And he talks about how the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and then the Lord brought them out of Egypt into the Sinai Desert, moving towards the Promised Land. But even though they were physically out of Egypt and no longer under the rule of Pharaoh, they were cultivating and holding on to a nostalgia for Egypt in their heart. Remember when they complained to Moses, saying, "Moses, we're getting tired of these boring daily miracles. Miraculous manna every morning, miraculous quail every night. We want to get those leeks and garlics and melons that we used to have in Egypt." So even though they were no longer physically in Egypt, and even though they were free, their life was still circulating around the past, the nostalgia for the past. And a journey that should have taken only 8 days took 40 years as they circled in the desert around their nostalgia for the things of the past. Sometimes that can happen with us. We're no longer committing a serious sin, but we're still nurturing an affectionate memory for it or wishful thinking about the future. You know, I've heard some people say things like this, like, "Well, maybe the church will change its teaching on this area someday, and I just need to keep some doors open." But you know what? We need to close certain doors. We need to close some doors on the past. We need to close some doors on the present. We need to close some doors on the future and only desire to go in and out of that blessed door who is Jesus Christ, who leads us to good pastures, who's the good shepherd. So again, if the Holy Spirit shows us that we're still holding on to some affection for sin or nostalgia from the past, we need to ask Him to give us the grace to let go of those things, and if they come back, to just keep saying no. That's also wisdom that the Lord gives us for fighting temptation. Just because we asked for more of the Holy Spirit and we started to pray, started to read the Scripture, started to do Magnificat or whatever, doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted. And one of the things the saints say about temptation is that it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. Everybody's tempted. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "There's no temptation that comes to you that isn't common to the whole human race. But God will never let you be tested beyond your strength. Along with the temptation or test or trial, He'll give you the grace to endure it, or He'll get you out of it." And that's a really important scripture passage to know. That's truth that can really strengthen us and set us free. God will never let you be tested beyond your strength. The saints also give us wisdom about how to deal with temptation when it does come. What they say is, the instant you become aware of a temptation, call it what it is. Say, "That's a wicked thought. I don't want it." Reject it instantly. A lot of times people get into this little no man's land or foggy area where they might dally with a temptation or welcome it to some extent. And they might say, "Well, I don't have any real intention of killing my neighbor, but it sure feels good to think about it for a while." Well, you know, playing with a temptation or entertaining it at all is already bringing a little darkness into our life. It's already weakening us a little bit. And if we keep doing that, that itself could even be a sin. If we willingly yield to evil thoughts, that itself could be a sin, depending on the seriousness and the depth of which we take it into our soul. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "Your holiness has to be greater than the Pharisees." They were really focused on looking good on the outside, but You've got to let me make you good on the inside. And he says, "So you've heard it said, don't commit adultery, but I tell you, don't freely engage in lust in your heart. You've heard it said, don't kill. I say to you, don't freely entertain hatred for your brother in your heart." And the way we get healed in our hearts is to keep opening ourselves to the Lord in prayer and the sacraments and spiritual reading. But it's also to be really vigilant in instantly rejecting temptation. When a temptation comes along, say, "That's wicked. I don't want it." Okay. What else can help us in our journey to God? Well, St. Bernard of Clairvaux says that one of the things that we really need to be aware of is that we're living in a culture of distraction. Now, Bernard of Clairvaux lived like 800 or 900 years ago. Imagine what he'd say about the culture we're living in. We're living in a culture of hyper-distraction, hyper-electronic stimulation. There's billions of dollars invested in getting us to listen to things and watch things around the clock if we're capable of it. We can watch cars go around in speeding circles all day long and all night long if we want. We can watch cooking shows. We can watch breaking news flashes 24 hours a day. We can, and you know, pretty soon you notice that the breaking news flashes aren't really new, you know? You know, it's kind of like hyperstimulation. We can be turning on the radio to hear news or hear music just our whole life. We can walk around with earphones in our head. We can be talking to people and be scrolling down our smartphones and not really paying attention. And one of the things that Bernard Clairvaux says is we need to detach ourselves from the busyness of our culture in order to hear the voice of God. You know, there's a line in one of the Psalms that says, "Be still and know that I am God." A certain kind of quietness of soul is necessary to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to dwell on us. This is what St. Bernard says, and I think it's good advice for today, even though it was written 800 or 900 years ago. He says, "You must withdraw mentally rather than physically, in your intention, in your devotion, in your spirit. Although withdrawing physically for times of retreat or prayer can be helpful, apart from that, the only solitude prescribed for you is that of the mind and spirit. You enjoy this solitude if you refuse to share in the common gossip, if you shun involvement in the problems of the hour, and set no store by the fads and fancies that attract the masses. If you reject what everybody covets and avoid disputes and make light of losses and pay no heed to injuries. Otherwise, you are not alone even when alone." You can be alone physically but have your mind and heart and spirit filled with the noise of the world. And you can be in the middle of people and have your mind and heart and spirit filled with the Spirit of God, attentive to the needs of people, alert to discerning what's good and what's bad. "Do you not see that you can be alone when in company, and in company when alone? However great the crowds that surround you, you can enjoy the benefits of solitude if you refrain from curiosity about other people's conduct and shun rash judgment. Even if you should see your neighbor doing what is wrong, refuse to pass judgment on him. You don't know his heart." So, another practical decision that can really help us in growing in the Lord is to be discerning about what we're allowing into our minds and hearts. John of the Cross said, sometimes people think they're going through a dark night when all they're going through is the result of their own carelessness and laziness and infidelity. If you're not resisting temptation vigorously, if you're not being faithful in prayer, if you're not being with other Christians who can help you grow, the darkness and dryness that can come into your soul, your repugnance for prayer and the things of the Spirit, is something you've brought on yourself that you need to repent of and return to your first love. So it's much easier to stay in spiritual condition than to get out of spiritual condition and get back in it. Okay, what else can help us in growth? We talked about prayer. We talked about spiritual reading. We talked about a further rejection of sin and a wisdom about what we allow into our mind and heart and the media and all those things that we're exposed to. We talked about the need of a certain silence, turning off the radio, turning off the TV, taking out the earphones, putting down the smartphone, and just being able to be still and know that He is God. Another thing that's really important, and I'd say this is maybe the third most important decision I made in my life. The first one was surrendering to the Lord and repenting, believing. The second one was taking some time for daily prayer and spiritual reading. The third one was I knew I should be with other people who also wanted to love and follow the Lord, even if they weren't at the beginning my natural friends. I know I needed to be with other people who had been touched by the Lord, who the Lord had put in their heart a desire to follow him, I need to be with other fellow disciples. So one of the things that this retreat I was on did, they suggested we get together in small groups. And so I got together with a group of other guys, and I've been meeting in a small men's group for more than 40 years now. The composition of the group has changed, but people come and go. But I know being in regular contact with other men who want to follow the Lord as I do, and being able to get together periodically and share how we're doing as husbands and fathers, and how we're doing with prayer, how we're doing fighting temptation, how we're doing struggling with discouragement. Sometimes we'll pray for one another, speak words of encouragement to each other. So it's really important to get with other people who want to follow the Lord. You can do this in small groups or Bible studies or prayer groups, or there's just find out what's available. Francis de Sales says spiritual friendship is a really important part of the spiritual journey. Having friends in Christ, friends not just with whom we talk about football scores and clothes and recipes, even though we're fellow Catholics, but friends that want to talk about Jesus and help each other grow. I know a lot of people are doing small group reading of this book together and discussing it. There's a study guide with it. There's videos that come with it. You can get at renewalministries.net. And, you know, if you don't have a small group, start a small group. Get people together and watch these half-hour videos and talk about the spiritual journey and help each other on it. Or start doing a Bible study together. There's lots of good Bible studies available. We also have available at renewalministries.net and in our bookstore. So get with other people. Little communities are forming all over the country around daily mass. People are finding each other. People know that in the hostile culture we're living in, that we really need to have the support of one another. The last thing I'd like to suggest is helping us grow is don't wait till you're perfect to share the good things that you know about the Lord that he's done for you. Tell people what the Lord is doing with you. It's really important, if other people are going to come to know to Jesus Christ, that they hear about him. And how can they hear about him unless their friends and relatives and neighbors and fellow parishioners talk about him? And so the witness of our life is really important, but we also need to realize that Jesus wants to continue his mission through us. Just like Jesus perhaps reached us through other people in our life, he wants to use us to reach other people in our life. And he wants to continue to carry out his mission of seeking and saving those who are lost. Doesn't mean we need to go out in a street corner with a sign around our neck saying, "Repent, the end is near." But there's so many natural ways of helping other people. Whenever there's a parish mission in our parish, or some event where somebody's speaking that could help somebody come to know the Lord better or grow in him, rather than just saying, "Am I going to get anything out of it? Should I go or not?" Also ask, "Do I know anybody in my life that I can invite to come with me who really needs to hear more about God's love or hear more about who the Lord is or what it really means to be a Catholic?" Also, if you read a good book, there's another book I'd like to mention here, Hungry for God, Practical Help in Personal Prayer. If you're just getting started in prayer, this would be a good book. It's also a good book to give to other people to evangelize them. It talks about conversion. It talks about personal relationship with Jesus. Hungry for God, Practical Help in Personal Prayer. If you read a book like this, rather than putting it down afterwards and letting it get lost on your bookshelf, ask yourself, is there somebody I can pass this book on to that maybe it could help awaken them in faith or bring them back to the church or awaken them to the fact that God loves them and really wants them to be in a friendship with him? Now, what's the worst thing that could happen when you're sharing about Jesus with somebody else? They'll change the subject. They'll say, "Hey, do you know what the football score was last night?" But you could handle that kind of rejection, couldn't you? And it's really important that what we've given, we start to give away even right now, even while we're on the journey. None of us have to pretend that we have all the answers. None of us have to pretend that we're perfect. I'm a Christian under construction. You're a Christian under construction. But how good it is to be on the way. How good it is to be following after Jesus. How good it is that he's working in our heart to bring about transformation. I'm so grateful to be a Christian under construction. I want to invite other Christians to join me and allow Jesus to begin the reconstruction in their lives as well. So, how can we grow in the Lord? How can what we prayed for last week begin to unfold in our life? daily personal prayer time, spiritual reading, reading the scripture, attending daily mass as much as possible, getting together with other people in a small group or a prayer meeting or a Bible study or daily mass that can help us grow in Him. And fourthly, giving away what the Lord has given us and all the different ways in which it's possible to do that. I have tremendous hope for you and tremendous desire for you that you persevere and that you grow, because those who persevere to the end will be saved.
What a great sharing on growth that Ralph gave us. And that's one thing we always have to remember. We never stop growing. I'd like to recommend some resources to you that would help us in this path. One is Hungry for God by Ralph Martin. Excellent book. I've read it more than once. You can get this at the Renewal Ministries website at renewalministries.net. In addition to that, there is The Fulfillment of All Desire by Ralph Martin. Excellent book. I've read this one as well. I highly recommend it. It, too, can be gotten from the Renewal Ministries website, renewalministries.net. And a third resource I would mention is the Magnificat Monthly magazine that really helps us with our prayer time. I use this regularly. I would recommend it as well. You could get this at your local Catholic bookstore.